as well as my colleague, Commissioner Crisman. And Daryl's got us, and we're broadcasting and recording?
Yep.
Okay. So if it's okay with you, Julie and Randy, I'll just jump right into it.
Sounds good.
Okay. A little background on this. As we all do, keep track of what we're doing with our portfolios. Stacy and I talked a while back about the number of complaints that we'd received on quality of service for CenturyLink really kind of jumped out when Stacy put together the numbers. And I know that there are a lot of different ways we can go through that, but you know, there was a, I would say, an extraordinarily high number compared to all others that we'd received. And so Stacy pointed that out to me, and then basically she put together a spreadsheet. And what I hope to do today was just maybe just have Stacy do a quick run-through of the complaints kind of by category. And then maybe even before that, Patrick, if you could give the three of us a summary almost of what our role can be in the different types of complaints. And I'll give you the example of if someone recalls and they think CenturyLink should have to bring broadband to their house, that's not something that CenturyLink has to do. If there's somebody wants to make sure there's a traditional landline and CenturyLink's not doing it, they certainly have a role there. If there's quality of service issues, that's where I was a little bit unclear of what we've maybe done in the past, what the jurisdiction might or might not be. So if you could kind of give us a summary of that, then we'll get into the actual complaints, if that's okay.
Well, a lot of aspects of providing local service to the end user are could be related to quality of service. And the commission has jurisdiction on quality of service. But saying that, we don't have any quality of service standards.
Okay.
And we talked about quality of service standards maybe 5 or 6 years ago, maybe even longer now, with the Regional Oversight Committee. And there were a lot of states that were comparing quality of service standards across the state, their states compared to other states. And at that time, the commission got together and met with at that time, U.S. West, probably, and talked about should North Dakota have quality of service standards that can be measured, and at that time, none were adopted. So we have the quality of service jurisdiction, but we do not have a written standard.
Is there a federally acceptable standard in some of this? It seems like the feds, not that we usually look for their ideas, but they've tackled a lot of these issues over time.
My gut reaction to that question is no, I don't think so. They have the requirements for universal service,
okay,
but they aren't the kinds of quality measurements that we're talking about here. I think they have certain measurements or guidelines for measuring interconnection services,
right?
But not for local. Local's pretty much always been the purview for the states.
Okay. If we ever get to where we want to do something to a company, what is it you would do? Let's suppose we could measure this and we found somebody that didn't meet the quality of service. Then what would be the next step?
Well, the commission has its penalty provision, be the general penalty provision.
Okay, so that's kind of like the, not the worst case scenario, but that's the extreme to one side of it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, Randy or Julie, I guess I'll go Randy first since you're on the phone, Julie. Randy, do you have any insight about that from your background with West River Telephone of what you would think would be a quality of service measure or before we get into the individual complaints?
No, I don't have any.
I guess
I don't know how to do it.
Okay. One other thing I'd like to add maybe is that since we don't have quality of service standards that have been adopted, I don't know. Again, we're getting a little bit into the legal part of it here. Would
yep.
you be able to find, you know, CenturyLink in violation of anything? You could have a hearing. You could hear the issues. You could, in the course of the proceeding, you could determine whether you felt that the service that was provided was adequate. But and you could ask for some remedy, I believe, but I'm not sure about that.
I'll give you a chance to talk here, Julie. I know it's different when you're traveling. Do you have any thoughts to this point about any questions or comments?
No, not yet.
Okay, Randy, you had a thought.
Well, just to say that, you know, the quality of service is sort of one of those things that you kind of know when you see, I think. And I don't know how you write guidelines, I guess, with internet service that we're not talking about. A lot of times it's all defined by megs per second, or you know, the download speed and the upload speed and that sort of thing. But when it's, you know, there's a buzzing in the background or something, I don't know how you really draw up guidelines. I don't know, Pat, did you say, do any number of states have quality of service standards that they've adopted and put into written form?
Yes, there are. There are several states that have quality of service standards.
Several, like just a few, or do most states?
Well, I think in the 13 states, I believe it's 13, that Quest CenturyLink now offers service, I would say more than half of them have quality of service standards.
Okay. Now if we could kind of transition. I just wanted to get the left and right limits established, because I think for me personally today is maybe have Stacy go through, and some of them, when we heard and I went through them, jumped out as outliers to where I don't think they're meeting the quality of service, but it'd be nice to have CenturyLink's feedback with some detail about, you know, why is it somebody hasn't got their service fixed for 3 weeks or a month. There could be reasons. So what I was thinking kind of an end game is today is at least talk to my colleagues, and whether a letter would go from me or the commission saying we want a detailed explanation, with basically doing what Stacy's already been trying to do, we put a little more formalness around it. Does that sound reasonable for Julie and Randy?
Sure. Or invite them to come in or some type of thing like that.
Okay. Randy?
Yep.
All right, maybe I'll turn it back over to you, Stacy, then, and go through the list.
Okay, so the first document is the Excel spreadsheet that you should have, and this includes every CenturyLink complaint that I have taken since February. So there may have been some that Daryl took that I didn't have the notes for, obviously. So these are just the ones that I have taken. But what I really wanted to show you was the trend that seems to have started in the last couple of months dealing with phone outages specifically. So you'll see all the first ones were kind of billing related, and then starting about April, we started to see phone outages. The left column is the date that I received the complaint. So it's the time that the person called me and complained, and then obviously the city where they reside, the complaint type. The complaint resolution is when I closed the complaint in our system. And then the column beside it is the complaint duration. So that's the time from when I filed the complaint to when we resolved it. The next column is the estimated actual outage duration, and I did that column because most of the time, by the time we receive the complaint, the customer's already been out of service for 2-3 weeks. So you can't just use the date that I recorded the complaint. So based on notes and what the customers have told me is what the outage duration is based on. So you'll see there's approximates there, so it's not, I can't say that the phone went out on exactly, you know, July 20th most of the time, but this is the estimated outage time. And you'll see there was one on April 29th that took a week. There's actually two of them that were reported on the 29th where the person was out for a week. You keep going down, we see 7 weeks, 6 weeks.
Stacy, could you walk through just as we go down through your well, just know your process to where I know this. We've talked a lot. That it's not like you talk to somebody local here. You talk with Denver. Can you walk through the process of when you get the call, who you talk to at CenturyLink, and the back and forth?
Sure. When I get the report, it goes to Mary Brewer, who is in Denver, and so she's the appointed contact for all consumer complaints. And then she usually has to contact back with a regional supervisor, I believe is usually the term that she uses. So she contacts back for the supervisor, whoever is working on the case, depending on what part of the state it's in. And then she will give me an update of what's going on. And it just depends on the case. It might be, for the billing stuff, it's usually easy. She'll usually say, yeah, you know, that was wrong. We corrected it, done. In the cases of these outages, It seems to be a delay in the time that the techs can actually make it out. So she might say, I contacted the regional supervisor, and then it might take, you know, a week for me to hear something again. And in a lot of these cases, I actually received a note from her yesterday on one of the cases that I was asking about because it's still open. And she said that, and I can quote it word for word, that it's their top priority as soon as a tech is available. A lot of times the customers are reporting to me that CenturyLink will tell them that a tech will be out there within a day or two, and then they never show up. So once again, this is information that I receive from the customers. But so that's the process. Then I just go back and forth with Mary and the customer until the problem is resolved.
Seems like Dickinson's popped up quite a bit recently.
Dickinson, and I'm not quite exactly sure which all of these are connected, because it seems like she told me one of them wasn't. But if you look at the one on the top of page 2, there was a lightning strike that damaged a cable and a bunch of other things. And most of these in Dickinson, I think, are related to that same line. But I believe that the lightning strike was on like July 20th or something like that. And all of these open ones too listed here, I think, are all still part of that outage. So they've been out, I believe, since like July 20th, and they're still waiting for repairs.
Okay.
Stacey, do you know if these folks have other communication devices like cell phones that they're using instead? Or are we to assume they have no phone service at all?
It depends on the customer. One that I just received yesterday, actually, that's not on your list, his sister actually called me because he's 90 years old, and he's been out for over 3 weeks now, one of the Dickinson ones. In that case, of course, he didn't have a cell phone. Other cases, they do have cell phones, but they seem to not be in an area where the cell phones work very well. One of the customers told me that they bought a booster antenna, or I don't know what you call them, to put on their house so that their cell phone would work, because the outage had lasted so long they had to buy the booster because they had no other means. I believe this is kind of in a rural area. It seems that they've mentioned to me that they're by New Radig. I don't know if you're familiar, but the address is actually Dickinson, but they're not in town.
Okay, Randy.
Are there standards for when they're supposed to bring phone service back up, or length of time that they can be, you know, without phone service?
There are no written standards in North Dakota, but there are
standards.
So that's
one of the quality services.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes, it is one of the measures.
And in some
is there something that a lot of other states use, Pat?
Yes.
I suppose if it's too wet to do the work, it's too wet to do the work, but it doesn't seem like there should be that many where it's too wet.
Yeah, I tried to. If I had additional information, I put that in the last column. That's information received from CenturyLink about why the delays were happening. And some of the stuff earlier this spring was due to wet conditions and not being able to bore under roads or trench in the wet conditions, especially the one at the bottom of page 1 in Arisca. They had a temporary line above ground for about 5 months. That was causing them some problems, but apparently that was due to wet conditions is what the reports I kept getting back, not being able to dig the new line in until the conditions favored. The one up above, too, for the 7 weeks, apparently they had to bore under a railroad track, and the conditions had to be right for that. So,
okay.
So there are extenuating circumstances in some of them, and I provided that information in that last column if I had it.
Well, what about this for a thought forward? The you brought up about number of techs in the area, and I've heard that over the last few years. Maybe, I think Julie brought it up, let's invite them in, and we'll have, whether it be Mary Brewer, the local contact, come in, and you can share with them that we would like a little detailed explanation of where they're at with all the cases and what the delays are, with a little more clarity coming from them on their viewpoint. And we could schedule it in an informal time at at a time when we would normally have an informal. So that doesn't mean we'd have to go through the scheduling of it. Because quite honestly, when you look at the numbers of the other telephone companies in the state, we're talking one or two. So it is a huge outlier. So even though we may not have a quality assurance standard, if you do a comparison, the numbers are just off the chart compared to the other ones.
Yeah, compared to any company that we regulate, even, you know, the
active pipeline projects.
Yeah, or the electric companies that we directly regulate are even below them for the number of complaints. And I don't know how it compares as to how many customers they serve in a state, but it was just kind of interesting to look at the numbers coming in. And lately it's been, like I said, all related to outages that have been occurring.
And do you think that a lot of these are in the same area out there, that it's the same problem that's prohibiting all those from being fixed?
All but one. There was one where she said, no, it's not related to the lightning, and I'd have to look back to see which one. But the other ones are all in the same area.
Because, you know, I'm pretty sympathetic to weather situations being able to delay things. And yet at the same time, you never hear of Fargo or Bismarck or Grand Forks or Minot being without phone service for weeks at a time, or any other service. When there's large groups like that, somehow or another, we almost always manage to get it done. And so I don't know that, without knowing more about just what the wet issue is there, it seems like in that much time, there should have been some opportunity to reroute or to get through the wet conditions or do something. And like I say, I can imagine exceptions to that too, but at some point we can't just
ignore it.
We need more information,
yeah,
I guess.
And that's kind of why I just kind of started talking and asking questions too, because I don't know what's acceptable. I don't repair phone lines, of course. So if your line got hit by lightning, is it normal for it to take a month to fix? I have no idea if all your lines are fried from lightning, and does it take that long? Those are questions I can't answer, and that's why I just kind of wanted to open up the dialogue and say, is this
right,
normal, acceptable? I don't know, but we are getting lots of complaints related to it.
It seems like it goes in spurts with CenturyLink, because we had a bunch here a while back, then we met with them and it kind of leveled off a little bit. But the part about the number of techs available, so maybe, I'm not sure who's the best person to set this up. Would that be, if we're going to do an informal kind of discussion with them, that would be Pat to follow through on that, or Julie Prescott, or Stacy, I guess.
I think either any of us in
all
sitting
right
here at the table,
yeah,
could work on that.
Whoever you feel. I mean, I work with Mary Brewer all the time. I don't know if she's the appropriate contact to go through, since I work with her, or because she's in Denver, so I don't know how the...
Well,
why don't you guys ask Kent? Isn't Kent looking for that?
I was just going to say, if it's okay with Randy and Julie, Kent's sitting right here, and I'm okay with asking Kent if that what he the company would do in that case, if that's okay.
Let me throw in one other question, because maybe he wants to respond to this too. But the question, first of all, is for Stacy. In these instances where it's sporadic outages, buzzing for about a year, so those don't sound to me like they have to do with the lightning strike.
No.
And they may or may not have to do with wet conditions. If there's a cable that's maybe in water somewhere, maybe that's the reason. But what is Mary Brewer's response on those? What are they doing to try and alleviate those really ongoing problems that don't have to do with a line cut or...
The only information that I have is the information contained in that box to the right. So, you know, like the first sporadic outage listed under 619, they did repairs in the cross box. And this is something that I'm learning as I'm going, that maybe I need to ask more questions, because they don't always provide me a good explanation. And also, I have no idea what that means, because once again... So the next one down in Belfield, who had buzzing, they fixed a cable and did a 7,000-foot drop replacement. And Pat might know more of what the stuff means. But that's what they did to fix it. So a lot of times it's line replacements and and other things that they
so
need.
So basically all those types are fixed except for that very last
yes,
one that just came in the last couple of days.
Yeah, all of them are closed except for these last ones that are marked open.
Well, so then we're good on those. I had earlier read the last column, but then when I was thinking this question, I didn't. So
yeah, no, those were all eventually closed. It's just that, once again, it took them 6 weeks to fix it or 7 weeks.
If I could just comment a little bit, because I know I did most of the consumer things prior to Stacy's hire when Scott left, and I know I had a number of CenturyLink complaints that had come in on lines that had not been fixed, and so there was an outage at that point. Wahpeton, Mandan, we had a couple in Dickinson at that time. Then we had one up in the Montana, kind of west of Williston. And I know all those have been fixed. And it was kind of interesting because I know when I talked to the customer and then got a hold of Mary, it seemed like somebody got there shortly thereof and did what they needed to do. I know there was a lot of line changes that they were looking at. And I don't know if fiber optics had to do, because I know there was one area where they're adding new line, including fiber optics. And I don't know if that was in the same for the same system at all. But I know the one in Mandan, they fixed in one day. I called Mary. She said, and that was a business. Actually, it was a plumbing business. They called, and they were out for like 3 or 4 days. I got a hold of Mary. Mary had a tech there the next day, and they got it fixed. And I remember that lady, remember I talked to you about that, and she called back and was so grateful that they got it fixed, because that was part of our business, and we can't be without a landline. The one in Montana took a while, and I know Mary kept saying that they're looking for techs, and they were actually trying to bring techs up from Texas to kind of help out with some of those issues up in Montana and west of Williston, because there was a whole line there of customers that were out for a couple of weeks already at that point. But the point was that I want to make is that it seemed like when we got a hold of Mary, Mary really worked hard to try to find somebody to go up there. I guess my question is, why did it take so long to try to address that? And like I said, Mary responded very quickly, and they got texts there. So, and I know she kept telling me that, well, we're short of techs. We just don't have them around, and we've been pulling them in from other states. I don't know if that's correct, Ken, but that's what she was telling me. And North Dakota was really struggling with not only retaining their techs, but just even hiring them.
Yes.
And I don't know if that, you know, should be our issue, but I do know that that was one explanation that I got. And but again, my point is that they got fixed fairly quickly once we made contact, you know, and I guess that was.
And I haven't been seeing that on these latest ones. Mary is always responsive. I get a response from her immediately. Like I said, she files the complaint, but then it seems like getting the work done is what gets delayed. And this is the response she sent me yesterday on the Dickinson outages, because I had asked for an update, and she said that they continue to work on the repairs, and then there's a string of emails where she was talking with the area plant supervisor from Mandan, and he said, no, we are buried with work. This is our highest priority when we can pull off a tech to work on this. So it just sounds like they're just don't have the manpower to get people out there right now.
All right. Thank you, Stacy and Daryl. Kent has joined us, Kent Blick. Kent, if we wanted to have CenturyLink come in and just kind of give us a little more detailed about this and the trends, if you have enough techs and how you're doing some of those, what's the best way to do that?
I would say that contact me.
Okay. So let's
consider myself contacted.
Well, how long, what's the best way to have Stacy give you the list and then you guys just coming through, then you can go line by line is what I'm guessing.
I think that would be probably the easiest way to do it. I brought along a list of, you know, Mary Brewer.
I can give you this list. That
okay.
Kim, what's the best time to call you?
any time, Commissioner Fedorchak.
And that list does not include names or anything, so you're not going to be able to identify the people, but I could okay. I could get that to you. I just didn't put it on there because it
yeah,
wasn't
if you had one
that
also has the names, then I can match them up against, I mean.
Okay, yeah, I can put in names for you if you need to match them against actual cases.
Yeah, we'd be more than happy to come in with the appropriate people and address the concerns one by one or as a group or however the commission would like us to do that.
What time frame do you think would be appropriate? I'm just looking at our schedule. And then I know it might be tough to schedule everybody's, but this might be the best time too.
Are we allowed to do that?
Oh, yeah, we can schedule. We're in a work session.
Can't we just look at one of the upcoming informals where we have it already scheduled and add it to that or put it at that, the informals in the afternoon of the commission meetings?
That was my first thought, Julie, but I just was just seeing if there was a better – I was looking at our calendars after just going through this morning to see if there was a wide-open date, and I didn't see anything until the 17th, actually. So if that would be fine with you and Randy, that would and the company, September 17th would be the next one. We could do it then.
I'm actually going to be in South Dakota on the 17th.
Okay.
I could possibly rearrange that, but I have meetings scheduled actually with the South Dakota Commission at that time.
They're not as cool as us.
Well, I...
the
can we fit that in on the 2nd when we have a commission meeting?
We have a commission meeting that's scheduled at 1:30 to 3:30. I have no conflicts later in the day. September 2nd.
Hold on a second. I'll check my calendar.
Is that, yeah.
So Tuesday.
That would be fine.
That works for you, Randy?
Yep.
I'll Julie check her. See if that AT&T phone works.
I'm guessing that there's some reason why we didn't have that in the morning. So.
Oh, we just did because the long weekend.
I would be free either before that 1:30 meeting or after.
The only reason we picked the afternoon was the long weekend. We didn't want to do a commission.
So 1:30 on.
Let's let Julie come back.
We're booked from 1:30 to 3:30.
You're booked.
Yeah. Would it be possible to do it that morning?
Absolutely, Julie.
Late that morning?
Yeah, that's fine with us. We just didn't want to have the commission meeting right away after the long weekend. But.
Well, how about if we have it at 12:30 right for our meeting? Or?
I'd like to give us a little time before then, if that's okay.
Maybe 11 or 10:30. 11.
11's fine. Ready?
Yep.
Kent, 11.
11 o'clock it is.
Patrick, Julie Prescott, and Stacy. Okay, well, that's easy enough then. Okay, well, I don't know that there's much else to talk through today. I think we kind of let the quitting in. If you could, Stacy, of course, do the best update we have of complaints, and I appreciate everyone kind of coming together on this issue, and we'll move forward. Julie, anything else from your end?
No, thanks, everyone.
Randy? Okay, one more time, Stacy.
You didn't want to talk about those other letters. Those kind of are different, or did...
I don't think so. Okay. Different bits.
I was thinking maybe, Stacy, could you call that person back and ask her for specifics on her claim that... The only issue there relating to CenturyLink, I think, was her claim that they sometimes don't provide service. Even local telephone service, but she didn't have any names, or we don't even know for sure if that's legit, you know, if that's their territory or whatever. So I guess maybe you could check in on that and see if she can be more specific, and then we can ask CenturyLink about that as well.
Okay.
And then the other ones just give to CenturyLink, and they can answer those at the same time, Stace.
But now, where did you leave that? You're going to discuss it with CenturyLink between now and September.
This letter?
Yeah. You may as well.
If there's a specific...
I think the person that wrote it needs to contact it and ask if they have any specific examples they can give, because that's a pretty serious accusation that they're making about CenturyLink not even being willing to provide, you know, local wire landline service. So,
no, fair point, Julie. But that's give them a chance to respond to it. That's good.
Yeah. I'll follow up on it.
Okay, and then just the admin details. So, who will make sure the notice gets put out there?
I will do that,
Daryl. Thank you, Daryl. Okay, one more time around the table. Anything else? Okay, we'll go ahead and close the discussion. Thank you all very much.
Thanks.